sharpen your shovels. And we want to welcome a new sponsor to the program today, Kelly Banks Tree Service. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. It is time now for our Green Country Gardener program, and our expert Larry Glass is in studio. And again, like the fine gentleman who sounds a lot like me said, 1-800-749-5936 is our number. How's it going, Larry?
Hey, pretty good this week. We've been busy.
You've been planting a lot of trees.
You bet. I'm kind of worn out today, so I'm a little slow today.
Yeah.
Anyway, the cool weather has kind of gone away for a little while. Looks like midweek it's going to get a little cool again. But yesterday was an optimal day.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely beautiful. Mm-hmm. Not a whole lot of wind. Good warm weather. I planted a whole bunch of trees. I got a bunch of trees to plant today. Golly. Anyway, we're having a real optimal spring so far. The dogwoods were beautiful at the point, and the Korean dogwoods are getting ready to come out. We're going to talk about those a little bit later in the show. But anyway, in the garden right now, it's a little cool for some annuals, specifically the periwinkles.
Is?
Yeah, they like it kind of hot.
They do.
So if you do want to plant your periwinkles, go ahead, but don't water them too much. So it's going to get, in the 40s sometime this week on the weather, and that's not good for them. But anyway, there are other annuals out there. The sun patients are going real good right now, and the petunias, we got some bubble gums and bubble yellows and bubble this and that. So we've got all kinds of petunias now. On your tulips and your daffodils, you do want to keep the foliage on them. There is a chance that the tulips will repeat if they can be permitted to grow. The leaves to stay on them until they naturally turn brown on their own. So just leave them alone right now, if you will.
Yeah, okay.
And a good idea to mulch. We got a little bit of rain coming on, so it'll help hold that rain in if you put on some mulch. And you'll be surprised what good it does for the appearance of your garden as well by adding some mulch there. We do, right now at this time, have a great big old semi-truck load of bulk mulch, which is the coolest stuff because you don't have to buy the bag. You just get the mulch.
It's Thank you very much.
Bagless mulch.
I like that.
Yeah. Save the environment. But anyway. And it smells good, too. It's a cedar mulch. It's from Missouri, so it's pretty good stuff.
There you go.
Anyway, time to also to start spraying those fruit trees. If they're done blooming.
Yeah, we got to wait for that.
So the plums are, I got little plums right now. They're almost the size of a dime at this point.
Plumettes.
Yep, and little cherries coming on too. Uh-huh. So anyway, so it's time to keep the maintenance on those. And I use neem oil on them and spinosad. We call it Jack's dead bug stuff. It's spinosad. And it works.
It's the real name, trust me.
Really, it is.
Yeah, no, it is. I've seen it.
Jack's dead bug. So anyway, come get some Jack's dead bug.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's kind of time to maintain those pretty well too. And also, if you do have some borers on your fruit trees and all that, you want to put some imidacloprid on there. I was doing some reading on that, and it said the amount of imidacloprid that actually gets into the fruit is so minimal that it's not even worry about.
Okay.
So, but you always, if you do use a fruit tree spray per se, you want to make sure to apply it at the recommended intervals for it to work properly.
Yeah. Okay. Follow directions. It'd save you a lot of trouble.
Right now, we've had some rain. Tell me about it. And the soil should be fairly loose and easy to work at this point. So get that shovel out, sharpen it up real good. I'm about to break another shovel though. I got a weld given out on it, and it kind of creaks and pops when you use it. It's just going to go snap.
You're tough on those things.
I know. These all metal shovels too. They weigh about 20 pounds. But anyway, so at this point in time, people's annuals are really in full swing. Good time for those begonias, the petunias, and the marigolds and stuff like that. So you might want to think about that. And also, when you do plant your annuals, be sure to do a little bit of composition. And keep in mind how high these plants get. And you don't want to put your tall plants in front and your short plants in the back and so on. And also, you want to make sure your soil's in good shape also. And we have a barometer for that. It's called the drop test.
The drop test?
Yes, the drop test, where you take a clump of your soil with the conditions such as it is right now, a moisture content, that is, and take a handful of soil and put it together in a ball and drop it hip high. And if it shatters, then your soil is probably pretty good. Mm. You don't have to do a whole lot. But if it just goes clunk.
Clunk.
Like dropping a, yeah, like that. Clunk. you did that real well.
Clunk.
Except your clunk had a little too much clang in it. But anyway, you drop it from about hip high. And if it shatters, your soil's probably in pretty good shape. You don't have to do too much to it. But if it just drops in a dough ball, then you might want to consider doing something to that soil to loosen it up. Mm-hmm. And a couple things you can do for that is to put in some bark mulch. We do have some stuff called Happy Grow.
Happy Grow.
It comes in a great big old bag. You put it in your soil and helps keep it loose. It's basically finely shredded pine bark. Or the compost works very well to do that also, to help keep that soil loose. And also, you want to feel the soil. It should feel a little bit gritty, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many bearings you've packed in your lifetime. But
I've
packed a lot of bearings in my lifetime, and I know what grease feels like in your fingers. And if your soil, if it feels kind of like that grease, then like you're packing a bearing, you might want to add some coarse sand to it.
Okay.
Just to help keep it broken up a little bit. Not fine sand, not the stuff they use for masonry, because it can cause some problems, but some coarse. It's got to have some coarseness to it. And then a good soil is made up of sand, clay, silt, and loam, those four things in the right proportions. So one thing we've done in the past at the nursery, and we have exhibited to people, is you take a quart jar and fill it halfway with soil and almost all the way up with water. Shake it up. Do the shake.
Mm-hmm.
And just let it sit for a day.
Yeah.
And what that will do is reveal what your soil is made of.
Okay.
It uses a specific gravity. The heavier stuff sinks to the bottom. Mm-hmm. You get these different layers. And you can look at the ratio of sand, clay, silt. It's fascinating.
Wow.
Silt and loam. The loam goes on the top, then your silt, then your clay, then your sand. And you can look at the proportions of it.
Wow,
so
that's interesting.
So you can do a structural analysis of your soil that way.
It's that easy, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
Me, I just take my shovel, put my shovel in the ground. The louder it creaks, the worse it is. We got a caller?
Yes, we do. Hi, good morning, and welcome. You got a question for Larry?
Yes, that freeze knocked back my hydrangeas, killed all the blooms on them, so I deadheaded those.
Yeah.
So I deadhead the leaves that turn brown, too.
The leaves turn brown afterwards?
Yes. They have frost killed them.
The 27 degrees we had the other day. Yeah, I know we had a problem with some of our stuff at the nursery, too. It looks a little kind of like a jet plane just took off beside it. But they'll come back. Yeah, those leaves, typically they should be okay. It's just the leaf damage. You check real close to your stem and see if the buds are looking real good on it. And
I already cut the buds off. They were brown as could be.
Okay. Well, hydrangeas, they'll come back. You'll have a later bloom show, but they should come back. Just fertilize them just as you normally do. And
okay.
But
the brown leaves, should I cut those brown leaves off?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Okay. That's what I want to know.
And your first name is?
John.
John. Okay, John. We're giving away Million Bells baskets today. I have six of them to give away, so you're in the running.
Okay. Right. Well, thank you.
Thank you for calling.
Do you need a number or something?
No. At the end of the show, we will reveal the winners at the end of the show. So.
Okay. Thank you.
All right.
Thanks
for calling.
Very good. Very good.
Yeah, we had that real cold spell, and then it got kind of warm. People got complacent. Then you guys decided to make it 27 degrees. Thank you very much.
Oh, I guess you're welcome.
Yeah, and kill off some of your plants. So
now, we did exactly what you told us to do. We tented ours.
Yes.
We had some new additions to the yard and to the landscape, and we carefully tented them.
Yes.
Because you said you don't want to have the plastic or the cloth or anything like that touching the leaves.
Exactly.
Because you're going to get a zap.
It's just the heat. The heat. The heat will go out.
Yeah. You don't want to
transfer the temperature, right?
Yeah. So it worked out very, very well.
Good.
We brought in everything that we could bring in.
So. No problems. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's fun walking through the house around all those plants.
When it's a tiptoe through the tulips. Yeah,
exactly.
You know
what I mean? But anyway. Yeah. So that little cold spell was a bit of a setback. And I get a lot of calls from people, what am I going to do about my Nandinas?
Yeah.
They're dwarf nandinas. Nandinas, they're a workhorse in the landscape. Golly, they come up. They have no bugs. Animals don't eat them. They can take the drought real well. Mm-hmm. And they just shine when everything else is kind of sad looking. But they took a little bit of a heat in this cold spell we had this last. They got in trouble with this cold spell we had this last
week. They did, yeah.
However, they're very resilient plants. Mm-hmm. So you do have to be patient with them. We haven't had a whole lot of consistent warmth yet. When that happens, they should really start to grow. And when they grow, they just really grow fast.
They do. Yeah, we do. Hi, good morning. Welcome to the Green Country Gardener Program. You're on the air with Larry.
Good morning.
Hello.
I was just going to ask Larry about my nandinas. I did cut them way back.
Uh-huh.
And I was wondering, is there anything I can do to encourage them to start growing again?
Well, you can go out and tell them how beautiful they are, and they'll really.
Maybe I cussed at them too much.
I don't know.
Oh, goodness.
Well, they could probably use maybe a little fertilizer, perhaps. And the nandinas really have very few demands as far as that's concerned. So something I like to on mine, I use Milorganite, and they just love it. Or any organic type fertilizer, you really can't kill them because you can put on as much as you want.
Yeah.
Some of the chemical ones you have to be very careful with. Nandinas are fairly shallow rooted, so if you do use a chemical type fertilizer, there's nothing wrong with them if they're used properly. They can cause some root damage, and that's the last thing we want to do is that. So try not just a normal fertilization. Would be
all
just
right.
Fine. Yeah.
I'll do that.
Okay, and if it does get dry, you might want to give them a little bit of water. But at the soil water levels, I should know, they're really good right now. So I wouldn't go overboard on water. Just enough to, when you fertilize, just enough to water them in a little bit.
Okay. And I have a question about your the greenhouse. So you guys have native plants there?
Natives?
Yes.
Yeah, they're out back. They're Johnson grass and hackberries and stuff we do. No, but we do have echinaceae, and we do have some black-eyed Susans and blanket flowers and all that. We do carry a lot of those or less indigenous plants, yes.
All right, very good. Thank you.
Your name?
My name is Scott.
All right, Scott.
Okay, Scott, thank you for calling.
In fact, I live about a block from Larry.
Okay.
All right, thank you, Scott.
Why is that funny?
Thank you.
Because he knows how your yard looks, man.
Oh, yard's terrible. It's just horrible.
Hi, you're on the air. Welcome to the Green Country Gardener Program.
Yes, I have a question about gypsum.
Yes.
Our lawn a couple years was not draining correctly. And so we have bald bare spots, and the ground is basically clay. Is this a time that I can use it, or do I have to wait till fall?
Gypsum nutritionally it does very little to the soil except add elemental sulfur and some calcium, but it does help break up the clay.
Okay, so is it okay to use it anytime?
Anytime, yeah. Because it really doesn't affect the chemistry of the soil a whole lot. As far as pH is concerned or fertilization or anything else, it just does a good job of help breaking up the clay.
Okay. What was my question? I just have a little small spreader. Do I need to use a bigger spreader to do it? Because it's very heavy. I have a bag.
Yeah. No, I just use a little bit at a time, I guess. Or at my house, I just put it in a wheelbarrow and just throw it around a little bit in the trouble spot.
Oh, okay.
There's no really specific formula for how you can put as much of it on as you want or as little as you want. It doesn't.
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
Oh, okay. So this would be a good time in before the rain, maybe?
Yes, very good time. It'll dissolve into the soil a little better that way.
All right. Well, that's great. All right.
Your first name, please?
Oh, Barbara.
All right, Barbara. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. And we won't ask Barbara if she's your neighbor either.
No. Okay. Good old gypsum, CaSO42H2O.
Sweet.
Yeah. It's good for your tomatoes, too. Calcium in there helps with blossom end rot. blossom end rot is spurred on by a lack of calcium. Mm-hmm. And CaSO4, you know, it's calcium sulfate, and it does have some sulfur in there, which you need to. I'll use that with my tomatoes, and a combination of gypsum and Epsom salts, mm-hmm. magnesium sulfate. That helps lower the pH, giving some elemental magnesium as well as the sulfur and calcium.
And it helps them grow really nicely.
I know the soil's real good right where the plants and tomatoes.
We're good.
I dug in it the other day. I said, wow, this is good stuff.
There we go. Well, it's 8:24. We're going to take a little bit of a break, and we'll be back with more of the Green Country Gardener Program after this two-minute timeout.
Hello, this is Tim from United Reynolds. One of our greatest advantages is that we do know people. We are local. Yes, we've got corporate buying power and corporate leverage, but, you know, we're going to be at the local grocery store. We're going to be at the local ball games. We live here. We've got kids in school here. You know, we're going to see you again. We are here to find out what people's needs are. We're here to take care of their needs and to do it at a competitive price. We're up here on the southeast corner of Highway 60 and 75, 3801 Nowata Road, United Reynolds.
Spring is here at Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses. And Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses has new shipments of annuals, perennials, herbs, trees, and shrubs arriving daily. It's a must-see what they have in stock. Get ready for spring at Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses, home to Bartlesville's largest plant selection. Discount days are back. Every Wednesday, take 10% off regular priced items. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nowata Road. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5, noon to 5, Sunday.
Who do I call to get my trees trimmed?
Kelly Banks Tree Service.
Who can grind up these stumps in my yard?
Kelly Banks Tree Service.
There's a dead tree right by my house, and I'm nervous it might fall.
Well, you better call Kelly Banks Tree Service.
What's that number?
It's 918-335-7000. It's 918-335-7000.
Call them today for your tree trimming, stump grinding, and tree removal needs.
That's 918-335-7000. 918-335-7000.
Go wild at the Kansas City Zoo this year.
12-month memberships are the most affordable family fun in Kansas City.
Get outdoors and explore 200 acres, home to 1,700 animals
from around the globe.
Koalas are returning to Kansas City this spring.
And 1,200-pound polar bear, New Nick, is splashing in his full daily.
Kansas City Zoo is open year-round.
For more information on tickets or yearly membership, visit kansascityzoo.org.
Good morning. It is 8:28. It's the Green Country Gardener Program with Larry Glass. I'm Tom Davis. Your phone calls are welcome. 1-800-749-5936. We're giving away a handful of goodies today.
I was at somebody's house yesterday. You had an irrigation problem.
Yeah.
Well, it really wasn't a problem. We just wanted it moved a little bit. Mm-hmm. System we put in 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I said, you have crabgrass. The crabgrass is starting to come up.
Oh, yeah, I've seen it.
It's little. They're little tiny little grasses right now. They look like just little tiny little grasses.
You just want to go yank it out of the ground right now.
Yeah, I mean, this was just, I think that's all he has is crabgrass.
A sea of crabgrass.
A sea of crabgrass. Oh,
yeah.
I said, your crabgrass is up. He said, yeah, I know. That's the only grass I got.
he's got a bumper crop.
But anyway, keep that in mind. It is coming up right now, and if you've not put down your crabgrass control, which we talked about mm-hmm. earlier, it's too late now, pretty much.
You're done for the summer.
So, yeah. there are post-emergent controls for that, too. You can use quinclorax later on. But if you do find some crabgrass in the yard, you want to get after it really soon, because as it matures and grows, it gets more difficult to control.
It does.
Yeah, so... there's old Kevin knows all about MSMA. I think he buys it by the drum. but right now for the homeowner, you really can't get that. So we use a quinclorax or Q. Mm-hmm. It makes it easier to remember.
Mm-hmm.
Use Q on it, mm-hmm. and that does a good job to control crabgrass. It will, however, also injure some of your other plants too. So you want to be very careful mm-hmm. how you apply it and be very meticulous about your measuring with this stuff too. because it can cause some problems if you over apply it. It does cause a setback in the Bermuda grass. So you can anticipate some lack of growth for a while after you apply it on your Bermuda grass, but it'll come back and do just fine. So there are some rules to follow with quinclorac too. They're on the bottle.
Mm-hmm.
You want to always read the directions, and you don't want to water it for at least 24 hours after you apply it. And you want it to rain, or at least a half inch of rain within 3 or 4 days after you apply it, just so the grass that's not affected by it, but get set back a little bit, just so it'll sort of come back a little bit more efficiently. So anyway, it's not too late. For those who forget, there's other remedies for crabgrass control. So anyway, it's time to begin fertilizing that Bermuda grass. I did mine last weekend, and we had a little bit of rain to do it in real good. It's really starting to green up nice.
Good.
Zoysia and fescue now, all the grasses really need to be fertilized at this point. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, good time to do that. I use some fertilizer with some sulfur in and some iron. It helps darken the color, too. So, anyway, that makes them prettier. So, also, make sure the lawnmower blade is sharp.
Yes.
Yeah, I know you probably haven't sharpened your mower blade.
Oh, I'd have.
Oh, really? Yeah. Good show. Hey, look at this guy. Anyway, why?
I've listened to this show a little bit, Larry.
Okay. Yeah, but yeah, you can have it sharpened. I imagine all the sharpening companies in town are really busy right now with that.
Oh, yeah, they are.
But so you or just get a I have a bench grinder and a little balancing thing.
Mm-hmm.
I've had that for years. I know I've had it for at least 35 years or so, this blade balancer, little top-like thing. My daughter used to like to play with it, you know, when she was 2 years old. Still had it. She's 40 now. So. Anyway. and you sharpen your blade, and you set this thing on it, and the blade will either go level or not, and if it falls on one side, you grind a little bit off to get it pretty close.
There you go.
So if your blade is out of balance, it can cause a little bit of a shake. And
you don't want that.
You can bend a crankshaft on your mower doing that, so you want to make sure it's pretty well balanced. Yeah. So, anyway, get the blade good and sharp and all that, and change the air filter and oil in your mower and all that, and you should be ready to go. But anyway, it's time to think about mowing that grass, and almost time to think about maybe taking it up a notch as far as height is concerned.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's not quite yet. It's just May, so yeah. We've got maybe the middle of the month you might take it up a notch or two, and then
got
end
it.
Of the month another notch, and then as June comes in, it starts to get hot. It should be just about 6 feet high.
Just give it an easy
pass. No, you're not growing bamboo, no.
No.
No, about 3 inches. It's about as high as you want to go with it, really, for an effective lawn at the most. Two or three inches tall.
There you go.
So anyway, that's kind of it with lawns. Pretty easy right now. Just fertilize it and enjoy it. And after you do fertilize it, if it doesn't rain, you might want to go ahead and irrigate.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay.
Very good.
I had a... Oh, we got a caller?
No.
Oh, okay. Break time. Okay.
Yeah, we're going to take a little bit of a break, and we'll be back with more of the Green Country Gardener program in just a moment after this two-minute timeout.
Peter's True Value wants to remind you it's time for spring lawn care with Phil's Mix. Reseed your grass lawn now with Phil's Mix grass seed. Phil's Mix is a blend of 10 different varieties of fescue grass that grows in the sun and even in the shade. Start reseeding your lawn today with Phil's Mix, and don't forget now is the time to get those onions, potatoes, and garden seed in the ground, all available at Peter's True Value on Highway 75 in Dewey. Peter's True Value has everything for your lawn and garden needs.
Who do I call to get my trees trimmed?
Kelly Banks Tree Service.
Who can grind up these stumps in my yard?
Kelly Banks Tree Service.
There's a dead tree right by my house and I'm nervous it might fall.
Well, you better call Kelly Banks Tree Service.
What's that number?
It's 918-335-7000. It's 918-335-7000.
Call them today for your tree trimming, stump grinding, and tree removal needs.
That's 918-335-7000. 918-335-7000.
What do you do if you really need a better vehicle, but you have bad credit? Come talk with your friends at Roman's Chevrolet Buick in Independence. Roman's not only has the ability, but also the desire to get anyone approved for a vehicle. They are your one-stop shop. They'll buy your old vehicle, help you find a great ride, and now help with financing, no matter how bad your credit is. Get more details from Roman's Chevrolet Buick, 2313 West Main in Independence. Roman's, with financing for everyone.
Food is the subject on the Dining Guides between 11 and noon Monday through Friday on sister stations 100.1 KYFM and 104.9 FM KREG. Learn about Wheezy's Cafe, El Rey Del Burrito Express, Szechuan Chinese Restaurant, Speedy Drinks, and KFC, all in Bartlesville, CV's in Dewey, and Copan Restaurant and Truck Stop. The Dining Guides on 100.1 KYFM and 104.9 KREG.
Good morning, and it is the Green Country Gardener Program. It is 8:34, and our phone line is open at 1-800-749-5936. Some of our lucky callers will be in the running. I guess all of them will be in the running for a Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses little gift certificate for a Million Bells Hanging Basket.
It's getting close to bagworm season.
Bagworm.
And I really don't know how bad it's going to be this year. I really haven't seen or heard anything about the bagworms. That's not the first item in the newscast is bagworms. But, but anyway, their population occurrences are somewhat cyclical.
Mm-hmm.
And last year they were kind of bad, but not that bad. But it's time for us to have a good year for bagworms. Mm-hmm. It's been a while. Bagworms are those little triangular-shaped bags that hang on your juniper species, primarily. Mm-hmm. They'll attack Japanese maples and cedar siding and even your Buick. They'll go after that, too. But, yeah, I've seen them hanging on cars, too.
Yeah.
But, anyway, it's getting really time to do some control with those. So you want to be diligent and look inside your junipers, look inside your dwarf Alberta spruce. Look for the beginnings of it.
Mm-hmm.
And don't let it get out of hand because it's very difficult to control. Now, I have found that the last few years that the bagworms tend to form in clumps and groups.
They can
have a whole row of plants, but they'll attack just one of them. So they've kind of changed their strategy. Yeah, so they don't spread out as much. They're kind of concentrated a little bit. So I guess that's their war plan, I guess.
Bagworm update.
Bagworm update. So watch carefully. Now, you can just look at them occasionally, your arborvitaes and your junipers. Look at them real closely, and if you see these little tiny clumps of unknown stuff on there, chances are it's a bagworm. You can squeeze it, and a little worm will pop out. And then you know you have bagworms. Now, several ways to control them. Thuricide works very effectively on it. Bacillus thuringiensis works quite well for bagworm control. And spinosad works quite well, too. It's a good effective control of them also. Both of those are microbial type, or natural, if you will, type of insecticides. Mm-hmm. Very effective against them. So watch out. Here they come. Mites also. Careful in your boxwood. Somebody brought in some boxwood leaves that were heavily stippled.
Ooh.
And it indicates a mite infestation. So mites are best controlled with pyrethroids. They're different. They're not an insect. They're an arachnid, and you have to treat them a little bit differently.
Mm.
So we use a pyrethrin-based control for and it's natural kind of stuff for the mites too. And also, soapy water is good against mites because they can't breathe if their exoskeleton is, mm-hmm. is sealed up by a surfactant soap or something. So you can kill them off that way with a simple application of soapy water.
Mm.
I've killed wasps with soapy water, too.
You have?
Yes.
We
had this hose and sprayer, and I filled it full of dish soap, set it on 10.
Gone.
and took the nozzle off, did a stream. I tested it first. I knew how far it was going to go. So I sprayed that little thing. They were coming at me. They flying at me. Then they just kind of ran out of air and went plop. Yeah. So anyway, insects, they breathe through their skin. They don't have lungs per se. They breathe through their...
They breathe through their...
And they make all that racket with their legs and things. They don't... They don't
whistle. No, they don't do that. No.
We can control them physiologically that way with some soapy water.
Got it.
So anyway, so be on the lookout for those things, for the mites. Be on the lookout for bagworms. Tent caterpillars, usually they come a little bit later. Tent caterpillars are a little bit different than bagworms. Some people mistake bagworms for tent caterpillars.
Yes.
It's all nomenclature. Oh, it's a big bag up on my tree. What is that? Those are tent worms. A little different thing altogether. Mm-hmm. And they can be controlled the same way as the bagworms, because we're controlling the insect at the larval stage. And they're pretty easy to control with these controls.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, anyway, so much for that. Tree of the week is going to the brighter side here, is Cornus causa, Cornus causa. That is the Korean dogwood.
Oh, okay. Now I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Oh, sure. Yeah. Amongst the among
a little
the,
rusty on my Latin.
Sorry. Anyway, amongst the dogwood species, the causa is probably one of the more easier to grow of the dogwoods.
Uh-huh.
It has less susceptibility to and stem anthracnose and so on. Mm-hmm. And I really like this plant, especially the newer ones. They have bigger flowers on them, and that the flowers are borne up on top mm-hmm. of the leaves. Mm-hmm. They almost have a layered look to them, with the and almost a somewhat viburnum in appearance too.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, the leaf is an opposite simple ovate with an entire margin. In other words, no cuts or any serrations on the leaf margin. And the leaves are about 2.5 to 4 inches long. It'd be pretty good size. Fairly dark green with a pale bottom on them,
mm-hmm.
and maybe a little bit of hair on the bottom, perhaps. I don't know. Anyway, the flower is white to slightly yellow white and pink and red on the causa mm-hmm. or causa dogwood. And they bloom often in mid to late May, even into early June. These bloom for a long period of time. Mm-hmm. They bloom a little bit later. And in the right place, with the right amount of sunshine, they can be just as showy as the Cornus florida, or the dogwood with which we're all familiar. So I like this because it's easier to grow and
easy to maintain.
Exactly.
Very good.
Got a color?
Yeah. Hi, good morning. Welcome. You are on the Green Country Gardener Program with Larry. You got a question or comment?
Yes, I have a question. I have some iris coming up, and their stalks are tall. But I have one iris that has white flecks all over it, like a looks like maybe a little bug, and that's stunting the growth. It's making it grow crooked and kind of curled over. Do I need to be concerned about that getting on my other iris? And I've never seen that. What is that?
It sounds like mealybug. Mealybugs,
okay.
They're tough to control. On iris,
oh,
iris don't really have a lot of pests, so that's weird.
That is weird. I've had them for 25 years. I've never seen them on an iris.
No, really.
Or any kind of insect on iris. So.
Huh. So, I would just start off with just some soapy water on it, so you don't injure the iris, and then see if that works. And if not, you maybe start secondarily with a pyrethrin type insecticide to control them. So I would try the gentlest approach first and observe the insects and see if mm-hmm. that works. And then maybe go with another type of insect, go up the ladder, if you will.
Okay. Like Dawn dish soap?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Works quite well. If you have a hose in sprayer, that works real well. So.
Thank you.
All right. And your first name is?
Cheryl.
Okay, Cheryl. Thank you for calling.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Bye.
All right. We're going to take a little bit of a break, and we'll have more of your calls and some great information from Larry coming up in just a moment after this 2-minute timeout.
Spring is here at Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses. And Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses has new shipments of annuals, perennials, herbs, trees, and shrubs arriving daily. It's a must-see what they have in stock. Get ready for spring at Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses, home to Bartlesville's largest plant selection. Discount days are back. Every Wednesday, take 10% off regular priced items. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Millwater Road. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5, noon to 5, Sunday.
Who do I call to get my trees trimmed?
Kelly Banks Tree Service.
Who can grind up these stumps in my yard?
Kelly Banks Tree Service.
There's a dead tree right by my house and I'm nervous it might fall.
Well, you better call Kelly Banks Tree Service.
What's that number?
It's 918-335-7000. It's 918-335-7000.
Call them today for your tree trimming, stump grinding, and tree removal needs.
That's 918-335-7000. 918-335-7000.
When I grow up, I want to be a new pair of blue jeans.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's first computer.
When I grow up, I don't want to be a piece of garbage. And if you recycle me, I won't be.
Give your garbage another life. Recycle. Learn how at iwanttoberecycled.org. Brought to you by Keep America Beautiful and the Ad Council.
Hey, Kevin, thinking about saving for retirement?
Yeah, but how do I start?
It's easy with Avo, a retirement coach. Let's learn the Avo bet. A is for taking action.
Not anxiety?
No, Kevin, you're going to be fine.
You sick?
Barely. V is for variety.
Huh, change up my strategy. Okay.
O is for optimize your savings.
Let Avo lead the way.
Visit aceyourretirement.org today. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Good morning and welcome back to the Green Country Gardener Program. I'm Tom, along with Larry Glass, our expert here. It's 844, and our phone line is open at 1-800-749-5936. Larry?
But anyway, I really like the cornice calyx that we talked about.
Yes.
Because it's a very easy to grow plant,
mm-hmm.
and it does make a good focal point in the landscape
mm-hmm.
when it does bloom. And it does bloom for a fairly long period of time.
Hmm.
Because it does bloom in the warmth, it can take the warmth real well, and the flowers persist real well and when it starts to warm up
mm-hmm.
in the spring. So it's cool. And it can take more sun than the cornice Florida. So it's a good plant.
Great.
A little better for Oklahoma. But we, golly, the dogwoods made a show this year. Let me tell you, they were really, really showy this year. And we're out.
Talk about putting on the dog.
Yeah, I know. And the Japanese maples are selling real well, too. So
mm-hmm.
they're really very showy right now. The purple color is so distinct in the landscape.
Mm-hmm.
Just plant it 10 feet from the house.
Yeah.
At least. So it'll grow and mature nicely. And there's some smaller growing varieties, too, of the Japanese maple.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, the shrub of the week is the dwarf yaupon holly.
Okay.
They took a bit of a zing in the winter.
Yeah.
However, they're coming back.
I remember there was some concern about that about 3 or 4 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And these, it's a versatile shrub in the landscape. It's compact growing and very easy to manage. It grows about 36 inches tall, fairly slow growing, makes a good low hedgerow for foundation plantings and backdrops, and for annuals,
because
it's a green backdrop that makes the flowers pop out a little bit with some green behind them. And for annuals and perennials, it has no thorns and have very small crenated leaves and a gray bark. So that's how you can tell it from other plants. Seeker-handed, and ow, it doesn't hurt. Despite being a member of the holly family, it doesn't hurt at all. Anyway, it grows almost anywhere except in heavy shade and poorly drained soil. It has few pests.
Mm-hmm.
The only pest I know of that it has is a little tiny caterpillar that will gnaw on it for a little bit, and then they'll come and go, and then they'll leaf out again, be just fine.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be a little bit brittle, so don't step on it.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, it's kind of, and that's one drawback of the plant. It's somewhat brittle. And also, it seems to have selective dieback in the spring, or in the wintertime.
Mm-hmm.
So, in other words, you have this dwarf yaupon, and part of it just didn't come back.
Oh, I've seen it.
But it's a simple matter of just cutting that out, and it'll fill in.
Uh-huh.
And I've had very good luck with these in my house. They've been there for 30-some years,
mm-hmm.
and they're just... they're about half knee high,
mm-hmm.
and I just take those hedge clippers. I borrow Kevin's.
The 16-cylinder?
His twin-cylinder, 16-cylinder turbocharged with dual exhaust hedge clippers, and cut them back really, really low, and they stay nice and low.
They do.
Nice, low compact plant. I also like to give the dwarf yaupon holly some iron sulfate in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
The dwarf yaupon typically has kind of an olive green color rather than a really dark green color. And with the addition of iron to it, it will darken that color real well. And it get the leaves get glossier from that from the iron supplement. A little sulfur, too, so that's why you use iron sulfate. But anyway, they can be pruned back severely if needed, and it will bounce back real nicely. Some friend of ours had some windows put in their house, and they hired us to come cut back their dwarf yopons. And well, they look like little antlers. But they came back.
Yeah.
The same thing holds true with yopon hollies. Yopon hollies are the ones that get fairly tall. They have all these multi-trunks on them, real small leaves. Very attractive specimen-type plant. And what people really like are these trunks that grow in all different directions. It's kind of an interesting-looking trunking on it, too. And typically the branches are trimmed up to expose those legs, if you will. And then there's a top on it like that. And they can get out of hand.
Quickly, I understand.
Yeah, so if your yopon is too big at this point, it's time to cut them back. So, and you can be rather stern. Don't be afraid to be stern with the yopon hollies.
They'll take it pretty well.
They come back nicely. This last winter was a little stressful on some of them, but they seem to be making a pretty good comeback. If your yopon holly was under stress before the winter, well, you know about it this spring.
Pretty evident.
Now, when they get older, too, yopons tend to have part of it dry off, die off here and there. But a lot of times they send out new branches from the roots. And that's happening at my house. I know they've been in there since 1981, which is a little bit of time. So was that 30 years? Yeah, I think. Yeah, 40.
Well, I'll take your word
years?
For it. I haven't been
around that 40 years,
long.
Isn't it? Ooh. But anyway. So, yeah, part of them are starting to die out. But at the same time they're dying out, there's these little branches that come up from the ground. And I'm keeping some mud of them on there that looks really good to take place of that one that's dying. So you can constantly recycle it that way.
Got it.
So don't be afraid to cut them back. I did that to somebody one time. Oh, golly. Got her yopon back, and she came outside. That looks horrible. I'm not paying for that. I said, well, fine. It'll come back. When it looks good, you can pay the bill if you want. She came back about a month later, paid a bill. Because it did grow back rather nicely. So they bounced back real well, almost indestructible. So that's yopon holly or dwarf yopon holly, the shrub of the week. Okay. House plants, it's time to summer your plants outside. You want to transition them to the outside environment. If you have put them on a patio in the sun somewhere, they've been in the shade all winter long, and they really don't like being put out in the sun instantly like that. You have to transition them. Put them close to the house so they don't get direct sunlight. And once a week, just bring them out a little bit so they can get adjusted to the difference in the environment. So that's what you do with them right now. It's a good idea also maybe to repot them at this point because they're going to be growing fairly quickly as we get more light available. So if you need to repot your houseplants, it's a good time to do that also. Okay.
Indeedy. Let's take a phone call here.
Okay,
real quick.
Put them on.
Hi, good morning. Welcome to the Green Country Gardener Program. You're on the air.
Good morning. I wanted to ask Larry questions, probably out of his line.
Yeah.
About 15 years ago, I planted two sycamore trees. They're probably about 15 feet tall. And I live out in the country close to a ranch, not mine. It seems that the ranch people decided they needed to spray their property.
Oh, huh.
And half of my 15 feet tall sycamore trees is not coming out this year.
I see.
Is there anything I can do to help the tree survive or what?
Yeah, look at the trunk, and you might take a pocket knife and scrape some of the branches and see what's going down below the bark.
Well, and the north side of the tree is leaving out.
Okay.
Looks nice, but the south side of the tree looks dead.
Yeah, it probably is damaged somewhat, I would say. And I would take, at this point in time, I would take a wait and see on it and see whatever comes out. It's a little too early to tell at this point if it's been damaged too much. But although the sycamore trees are out right now, so it should be emerged at this point, I would think. So
I have a big sycamore that's probably 30 or 40 years old. In fact, is these two trees coming from that tree?
Yeah.
Come up my flower bed, and I transplanted them about 20 years ago.
I see.
But it's so aggravating for land companies to think they have control of the whole country and spray and not even care where their spray is going.
Sure. Well, you can look at it, and a tree like that, you really can't purchase a tree that big. But the biggest you can tree will probably be about four. The biggest tree you can get would be about a 4-inch tree, and they're worth about $600 or so.
Mm.
So, but if you have to have the tree removed, you need to factor that that cost in there also, if you want to do a replacement. So, it's difficult to assess it really. I think they should be under some degree of
obligation
to be responsible for collateral damage like that.
Well, you'd think so, but who knows?
Yeah.
Well, thank you, and I certainly enjoy your program.
All right.
Can we get
you
your first name?
First name is Geraldine.
Okay, Geraldine. Thank you for calling.
Mm-hmm. All righty. And I think we're going to try to squeeze one more before the break. Hi, good morning. Welcome to the program. You're on the air.
Hi. I was just wondering, is it normal for coneflowers to overwinter, especially with as cold as it was this year?
Yes, it is normal.
Okay. We hadn't had them before, and our dianthus didn't make it over where our coneflowers planted.
Uh-huh.
But in the other area, our dianthus made it, which is weird.
Yeah, well, the conditions were kind of spotty. It depends on... We had a little bit of snow when it was really cold like that. And typically where the snow is heavier, I noticed a better recurrence of plants than where it was not heavy. And also exposure to the sun. The sun was a bit south, and that has a big factor in it also. So coneflowers should come back... sometimes they're a little late to come up anyway in the spring, but they should be up. Here it is, May. They should be up. Look real close at the ground. You should see some sprouts coming up, I would say, at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, ours are up.
Oh, okay.
All right, well, thank you.
Your first name, please?
First name?
Carrie.
Carrie. Okay, Carrie. Thank you for calling.
All right. Thank you very much. We'll be back after this 3-minute timeout, folks, along the network line. It's a 3-minute timeout.
Frank Phillips, the old man with barbed wire nerves and the courage of a wolf, didn't realize his own capacity to love until after the death of his dear wife, Jane, in 1948. He no longer heard her laughter in the mansion in town, nor enjoyed the long drives out to his beloved Willow Rock, where they would often go to share an evening dinner. After her death, he found himself waking to the cold reality of her absence and confided to others that his soul ached. More and more of Frank's time was being spent at the ranch, sitting on the front porch of the lodge and enjoying the magnificent view and likely reflecting back on an incredible life of personal and professional accomplishments. However, without his wife in the chair next to him, these simple joys became shallow to Uncle Frank. After her death, those around Frank soon discovered that he had one desire, and that was to build a mausoleum at Willow Rock to serve as a final resting place for Jane and himself. He had picked out the spot years before, a favorite spot that overlooked one of the beautiful lakes that dotted the grounds of the ranch. Inspired by the memorial built for his good friend Will Rogers in Claremore, the mausoleum soon became the primary focus of Frank's life. Once construction started on the mausoleum in 1949, he personally came out every day to see how work was progressing. Frank wanted it within walking distance of the lodge, yet not directly in the public eye, which is why he chose the site above Elk Lake, one of his favorite fishing holes at Willow Rock. Built of native stone with no cut edges, the tomb appeared to spring from the side of the hill as if it was part of the terrain. Workmen blasted through 18 feet of solid rock to form the burial chamber, and the 24-square-foot room was lined with a 12-inch steel-reinforced concrete wall. The chamber was air-conditioned, and a telephone was installed. Inside the mausoleum is a circular rotunda outlined by 8 columns of St. Cecilia marble imported from Italy, which rises 10 feet to a dome. The walls are covered with thousands of mosaic tiles, and in the center of the room is an 8-pointed star formed by the different shades of marble. Construction took about a year, and as soon as it was completed, Frank had Jane's casket brought from White Rose Cemetery, and a memorial service was held at the new mausoleum. To his friends and staff, Mr. Phillips seemed happier than at any time in recent years. His final work was completed, and he could return to the porch of the lodge, which he did until his death on August 23, 1950. The Magic of Willow Rock is a story worth sharing, and it can be found everywhere at this national treasure. Come see it for yourself, and welcome home to Willow Rock.
Hi, I'm Vivica Fox. Every year, millions of animals lose their homes and end up in shelters. Learn how to help animals in need of rescue and adoption at AmericanHumane.org and be a hero to our best friends in their worst times.
Hey. All right, dance if you know the steps, man. Good morning. It is the Green Country Gardener program. It is just about 8:59. We're kind of running out of time here, but boy, it's been a busy program today, Larry.
It has, very busy program, yes. That leads us into caladiums.
All right.
We have several caladiums from which to choose. We also have lots of elephant ear bulbs.
Oh.
Really, and some big ones, too. Oh, yeah. Size of a football. Mm. Yeah. That's so if big. You want these real giant tropical-looking leaves in your landscape, you might want to consider getting some of these big old bulbs. They'll be really nice. So. So they're not hardy, though, so you want to dig them up in the fall so they can they'll come back next year. And also the cannas really got zinged out this cold spell we had.
They did.
So you want to be, you probably want to be on the lookout for some new canna plants or canna bulbs to replace the ones that got frozen out. Anyway, come by the nursery, see what we got. We got all kinds of annuals and perennials, new stuff coming up all the time. Shrubs, trees, et cetera, et cetera. We've about sold out of our dogwoods, and Japanese maples are going real well. Mm-hmm. So we've got a whole lot of stuff still yet to go. The azaleas are really moving out real good this year, too. So, and we're trying to get more stuff in. Just like our chlorine shortage. You know.
Yeah.
We thought we'd have that. But anyway, there's some of the plants are becoming a little more difficult.
We got our winners.
Oh, we got our winners, yeah.
We have John, Scott, Barbara, Cheryl, Geraldine, and Carrie.
Everybody won that called in.
All right.
So come on by and pick those up and keep your shovels sharp. We'll see you next week.
Dignity, compassion, excellence. Stump Funeral Home and Crematory, Bartlesville, Nowata, Barnstall.
This is KWON Bartlesville, K227CQ Bartlesville.
This is CBS News on the Hour, your home for original reporting.
I'm Cammie McCormick.